إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh session. Reading from the Minhaj Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fi al-Aqeedah wal-Amal, the methodology of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning creed and actions, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. The topic that we're going to discuss tonight is continuation of what we started last week. That is the second point that the Imam mentions in this book, Tariqat Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah fi ibadatillah, yani the way of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah concerning the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we started this topic, and today inshallah we're going to continue with it. Before we go to the points that we're going to talk about today, which is centered around arguments or the proofs or the angles with which a person may try to clarify the dangers or the falsehood of innovating in the deen of Islam, this is the core of the discussion tonight. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, how to address these issues, how to clarify the error of those who innovate in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we talked about the way of the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah in reference to worship. What are the main elements that are necessary for a person to worship Allah correctly? And tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about the error and the mistake of those who innovated in that worship. So before we go to tonight's topic, we're going to quickly review some of the points that we mentioned last week from the questionnaire study guide number 6. The first question being, what are the three considerations one must observe in matters of worship? Mention the three Arabic expressions. Now.
Lillahi.
Huh?
Lillahi.
Billahi.
Fillahi.
And these are three Arabic expressions that the Shaykh used, and he explains each of them. Yani the translation of the meaning of lillahi is what? Yani to the worship should be for Allah, yani with ikhlas, for Allah alone. And the translation of the expression billahi,
the help,
yani with the help or the aid or assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani worshipping Allah, seeking help from Allah. And the third expression, fillahi, the meaning of it, yani fillahi, yani in the deen of Allah, according to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so these are the three considerations that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah give yani great importance to in the worship of Allah, that it must be done for Allah alone, sincerely for the sake of Allah, with ikhlas, and it cannot be done except with the help of Allah. That is done with the help of Allah, and it has to be in accordance with the deen of Allah, the sharia of Allah, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Second question, and this matter here that the Shaykh has explained here in brief, and last week we talked about it very, very briefly, is very, very important that a person comprehend these issues and understand how to act in accordance with them, to implement them in one's worship every day, all the time, throughout our life. Second question, discuss the intended meaning of worshipping lillahi. Yani what has the Shaykh mentioned is the intended meaning of worshipping lillahi. Naam, Abdul Haq.
معنى ذلك الإخلاص
الإخلاص نعم
يخلصون الله عز وجل ولا يريدون بعبادتهم إلا ربهم ولا يتقربون إلى أحد سواه.
نعم. يعني the Sheikh, he mentions among other things, يعني the most important of it is that the meaning of worshipping lillahi, it means that you should be doing it with ikhlas, that a person has to be mukhlis in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they don't intend anyone except Allah, and they don't want to get near to anyone other than Allah with their worship, but rather they are worshipping Allah for His sake alone, to get near to Him, not to be seen by people, nor to be praised by the people, nor to be given titles of honor or respect and such, but rather they do it purely for the sake of Allah alone. Question number 3, discuss the intended meaning of worshipping billahi. Worshipping billahi. Now, Murshid.
Billahi means seeking from Allah. We know that we cannot be proud of ourselves, we don't have anything, so we must seek from Allah.
Naam, yani, the meaning here is that the person, yani, is conscious of and aware of and is seeking to ask Allah's help in order to worship Him. Yani, worshipping Allah alone with the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, this meaning is included in the word al-isti'ana. Al-isti'ana. Yani, that a person seeks help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and being conscious, not being proud of whatever worship they're able to do, because they know that they cannot do it without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are not independent in their worship, rather they are dependent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way, the Shaykh said, they seek to achieve the station of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. So, yani, with that being said, question number 4 is, explain what is required to achieve or realize the station of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. What is required in order for a person to achieve this station of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in? 2 things. Naam, who's that back there? Musa. Naam, that they must worship Allah for Allah alone, yani with ikhlas. And that they worship Allah billahi, yani meaning seeking help from Allah. Yani, this is the station of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. That is, that a person worships Allah sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, and they do it with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, meaning al-ikhlas wal-isti'ana. And this is, yani, something that we recite every day in every rak'ah of every prayer in Surah Al-Fatiha. Yani, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us to know that, yani, this surah is divided into 2 parts. One part is for Allah and one part is for the servant of Allah. And the first part of this ayat is for Allah, Iyaka na'bud, the worship is for Allah alone. And the second part is for the servant, yani, that we are asking Allah for His help in order to worship Him. And what follows after that is the greatest dua that is in the Quran or found anywhere, and that is Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. What is the intended meaning of worshipping fillahi? Worshipping fillahi. What is intended by this expression, worshipping fillahi? Naam, fadhal Abdul Haq.
أما قولهم يعبدون الله في الله أي في دين الله.
نعم في دين الله. نعم.
شرعه على سنة رسوله. وهم وأهل السنة والجماعة
صلى الله عليه وسلم
السنة يعبدون الله على لسان على ما شرع بما شرع على لسان رسوله محمد
صلى الله عليه وسلم
لا يزيدون فيه ولا ينقصون منه.
يعني in summary, يعني جزاك الله خير, أحسنت. The meaning, يعني وجب في الله, يعني في دين الله, في شرع الله, يعني in accordance with what Allah has legislated, yani through His messengers, and specifically through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seal of the prophets, and that is by not, yani, increasing anything, adding anything to it, or taking anything from it, not going outside of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, but staying within the bounds of what He has legislated, worshipping Him in accordance with this alone. And this is known in one word as al-mutaba'ah. So these 3 principles, al-ikhlas and al-isti'ana and al-mutaba'a, are very important principles in reference to the deen of Islam, especially the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, after this we had, whoever intends with their worship to seek other than Allah falls into the grave sin of
shirk.
Naam. If anybody intends other than Allah by their worship, yani other than the worship of Allah alone, other than the pleasure of Allah alone, they have fallen into shirk. And whoever worship of Allah by any way other than His legislation commits the grave sin of al-bid'ah. Yani, so these two things are also central themes in Islam, and that is, yani, worshipping Allah alone to avoid shirk, and worshipping Allah only by what He has legislated in order to avoid innovation. So whoever worships Allah alone and worships only by that which He has legislated, they will avoid these two great things, that is shirk and al-bid'ah, innovation. And finally, discuss the good that results from strictly adhering to the Sharia and the harm resulting from following ahwa, yani following desires. In summary, Umar.
Is that by strictly following the Sharia help unite the Ummah?
Naam, that if we follow the Sharia, this would be a means of uniting the Ummah.
And by following other than the Sharia, we lead us into division.
And following other than the Sharia, the law of Allah, yani following one's desires, will lead into division and separation. Naam?
Misguidance.
Naam. So from the benefits of following the Sunnah, sticking to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that is a means of uniting the Ummah. Naam. The Ummah of Islam can only be united by following the law of Allah, by following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It can't be yani united based upon friendliness, kindness, charity. No, it's based upon following the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only that. And there's no other way to unite. And whoever separates from that, then they guarantee yani that they will not be deserving of the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, that we are yani Ummah Wahida. Last week we stopped, yani the point that we stopped at, and by the way, today inshallah we're going to read in the English translation from page 22, somewhere around the middle of the page, until 24, which is the last page of this chapter in the English translation, and it's not the end of the chapter, unfortunately. Wallahu musta'an. In any case, we're going to try to read these couple of pages, but I have to alert everyone to the fact that it became clear to me as I began to examine the English translation of this book, in this particular chapter also, like the last chapter, that there are, unfortunately, yani, numerous errors, and even yani omissions, yani large portions that haven't even been translated at all. Yani what we're going to read today in the English yani translation goes up to page 22, but if we keep reading after that, there has to be at least 3 or 4 or 5 more pages that's not translated, yani that would be in English. So there's a long section that's untranslated. Allahu musta'an. In any case, yani we're going to cover all of it, that which is there and that which is not there. You just have to take some notes. Yani the English translation is a help and an aid for those who have difficulty in taking notes. But on this particular case, you're going to have to try to take some notes, yani, or at least record or something, so that you can get the benefit of what's not there. Last week we ended, after we mentioned that this is the second point of the essay of 7 points that the Shaykh mentions in reference to the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in Aqeedah and in Amal, in creed and Aqeedah, in yani the belief system, and in actions, deeds, worship. And we said that their tariqah, the tariqah of Ahl Sunnah, is that they worship Allah purely for the sake of Allah alone, with ikhlas, with the help of Allah, bil isti'anah, and according to the sharia of Allah, yani mutaba'. The Shaykh, the last thing that we read last week was the Shaykh said, "Well, ننظر إلى هؤلاء الذين يتعبدون الله بالبدع." Yani, let us. We must then now, after clarifying what is the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and worship, we must look at those people who are worshiping Allah based upon innovations. Which kind of innovations? التي ما أذن الله بها, that Allah has not given any permission for. ولا أنزل بها من سلطان, nor has He sent down, He has not revealed any authority for these innovations. They have no permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him with these innovations. There's no authority for it whatsoever. They just made it up. They have no right to do so. This is what we're talking about. And then he went on to say that, let us also look at how these people, some of them, how they've divided into sects and parties, some of them declaring others from amongst them to be kuffar, some of them declaring others from amongst them to be fusaq, yani to be disobedient, sinful people. And he said, while at the same time they're saying that they are Muslims, but they're declaring these to be kafir and these to be disobedient, sinful, and all of this. And the Shaykh said, and some of them have even declared some people to go out of Islam based on something that doesn't take a person out of Islam. that doesn't lead a person to kufr. And then he said, what? وَلَكِنْ الْهَوَىٰ أَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. But it is their desires, their hawa. Instead of following the law of Allah, it's following of their desires that cause them to be deaf and cause them to be blind. So then the Shaykh, he says, so, and this is the, yani, the last point that we, in our questionnaire from last week, Shaykh said that if we follow this path, the path of worshipping Allah according to the deen of Allah, then soon we will be, yani, united as a ummah wahida. If we worship Allah the Most High according to His Sharia and His guidance, not according to our desires, then we would definitely be a united ummah, one ummah. For indeed the Sharia of Allah, it is al-huda wa laysat al-hawa. And the Sharia of Allah is huda, it's the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not following desires. That's what we stopped last week. And today, inshallah, we'll pick up there where the Shaykh says, إذن. That being said, إذن. لو أن أحدا من أهل البدعة ابتدع طريقة عقدية أي تعود للعقيدة أو عملية تعود للعمل من قول أو فعل ثم قال إن هذه حسنة. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة. يعني what if a person from amongst the أهل البدع invents يعني some newly invented matter in the deen of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, whether it is يعني طريقة عقدية, يعني a way, a manner, a method, a road that is related to the عقيدة, they invented in the عقيدة something that's not from the deen of Allah, or whether it is يعني something related to the deeds, يعني عملية, طريقة عملية, the actions, the acts of worship, whether it's this or that, whether it's aqidah or whether it's an ibadah and deeds, whether it is speech or action, and then that person says this thing that they invented in aqidah or an ibadah, that it is hasana, it is good. And the proof for them, that they think is proof for them, is that they said, the Prophet ﷺ has said, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, that whoever establishes, whoever sets a precedent in Islam, سنة حسنة, that is a good precedent, a good يعني practice, then he will have its reward, and the reward of whoever acts upon it until يوم القيامة. من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, يعني they took this saying of the Prophet ﷺ and interpret it, yani, in a way to make it be in agreement with them, inventing practices in Islam, whether in aqidah or in ibadah, and then trying to show that there's some good in that practice. And then this is a proof for them. Then if it's good in it, then they will get a reward for it, and also the reward of everybody who acts upon it after them until Yawm al-Qiyamah. As it came in the hadith, without that person's reward being diminished in any way, to the end of the rest of the hadith. And the Shaykh mentions it later in complete form. What if somebody made this argument? They invented something new and then they said, yani, and it's good. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever, man sanna fil Islam, sunnah hasana. Yani, whoever enacts, whoever, yani, sets a precedent, establishes a precedent or a practice in Islam that's good, they will get a reward for it. And they will get a reward for everybody who acted upon it after them. The Shaykh, he says, قلنا له بكل بساطة, بكل بساطة. We will say to them simply, yani not a long theological argument or philosophical yani debate. We will simply say to them something very simple. And really, what the argument that the Shaykh brings here is easy for everybody. The student of knowledge, and every Muslim should be a student of knowledge, right? طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is obligatory to every Muslim. But the one who knows that he or she is a talib al-ilm, and the one who doesn't, who just thinks to himself, I'm just a regular person, I don't really know, I'm not into seeking knowledge. But every person can understand what the Shaykh said here, and make it clear to anybody who invents in Islam something, and then tries to use as a proof, yani something, whatever it is, whether it is hadith or other than that. The Shaykh said, we will say to them simply, هذا الحسن, هذا الحسن الذي ادعيت أنه ثابت في هذه البدعة هل كان خافيا لدي الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أو كان معلوما عنده ولكنه كتمه. ولم يطلع عليه أحد من سلف الأمة حتى أدخر لك علمه. Sheikh says, this حسن, يعني this good that you claim is established in the bid'ah that you have invented. The good that you claim is in it. Two questions. هل كان خافيا لدي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم? Was there something hidden to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم? And something that he didn't know about? And since he didn't know about it, that's why he didn't bring it to us. That's why he didn't teach us this. That's why he didn't offer this to us, because he didn't know about it. Is that what you're saying? That you came with something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't know about? That there was good in it? أو كان معلوما عنده ولكنه كتمه. Or was it something that he knew about, but he concealed it? But he concealed it. And what are you saying? That you have something that you have invented, you claim that it's good, and people should act upon it? Why didn't the Prophet ﷺ give it to us then? Either he didn't know about it, or he knew about it but he hid it. Yani they don't have many options. The Prophet, the Shaykh, he says, والجواب إن قال بالأول فشر. And their answer to these two questions, or this one question, is it this or is it that? Was it something that was unknown to him, or it was known but he concealed it? The answer, if they said the first one, that it was unknown to him, فشر, then this is evil. For them to say such is evil. It's clearly evil, right? It doesn't require a lot of thought. And the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't know it. He was ignorant of something in the deen of Allah. How could he be ignorant of it? He's the one who is sent, mission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey it to the people. Now,
do you want to translate that last sentence about the Ahl al-Salaf not seeing anything about the last?
Tayyib. Naam. Yani, the second part of the question, was it something known to him but he concealed it? وَلَمْ يَطْلِعْ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٌ مِنْ سَلَفِ الْأُمَّةِ. Yani, and nobody from the early generations of this ummah came to know about it. Nobody became aware of it. Nobody knew about it. Until, or such that, it was kept stored up, the knowledge of it, for you. Later on, you would have, it was like just, nobody knew about it, but later on you would come along and it was being saved and preserved for you to know. So you could bring it to us. So the Shaykh said, if they say the first one, that it was unknown to him, then this is evil. وَإِنْ قَالَ بِالثَّانِي فَأَطَمُّ وَأَشَرُّ. Then this is even a greater calamity, a greater disaster, and a greater evil than the first one. If the person is saying, we're not saying it was unknown to him. No, he knew about it, but he hid it. He concealed it. He didn't deliver it. This is even worse than the first one. How do we respond to them? The Shaykh says, فَإِنْ قَالَ, if that person says, إِنَّ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لَا يَعْلَمْ حُسْنَ هَذِهِ الْبِدْعَةِ وَلِذَلِكَ لَمْ يَشْرَعْهَا. Yani, if they said the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't know about the goodness of this innovation, and for that reason he didn't legislate it, because it's not, we didn't find it in the Deen of Islam. It's nowhere in the Sharia of Allah. So you came with it. He's saying the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't legislate it because he didn't know about the good that was in it. If they claim that, قلنا رميت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأمر عظيم حيث جهلته بدين الله وشريعته. Yani, you have accused the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of a tremendous affair. Amrun azim. Yani, such that you have declared the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be ignorant of the deen of Allah and the sharia of Allah. Wa'udhu billahi min dhalik. That's sharrun, la shakka. No doubt. The person who accused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of being ignorant of the deen of Allah, being ignorant of the sharia of Allah. Obviously, a person who had sense, even if he was misguided, he wouldn't be able to claim that one, right? He'll have to draw back, withdraw that, strike that from the record, take a different position. So he has to look for someplace else to escape. Well, then the only other option is, if you don't want to say he was ignorant of it, then you have to say he knew about it. But he concealed it. Because he didn't deliver it to us. We didn't find it in the Sharia. It's not in the Sunnah. وَإِنْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمْ وَلَكِنْ كَتَمَهُ عَلَى الْقَلْقِ. Yani, if they said, okay, he knew about it, but he concealed it from the creation, yani from the people that he was sent, the humanity that he was sent to deliver the deen of Allah to. كُنَّ لَهُ Then we said to him, in very simple manner, هذه أدهى وأمر. This is even worse of a calamity. This is even more bitter. يعني distasteful to like make this kind of statement. Because in this way, you have described the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الذي هو الأمين الكريم وصفته بالخيانة وعدم الجود بعلمه. Because by doing so, then you have يعني taking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is al-Amin, the trustworthy one, al-Kareem, the one who is generous, most generous. You have described him with al-Khiyana, of violating the trust that was given to him. The trust of delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its entirety. You have accused the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Khiyana. And you have accused him of not being generous with his knowledge. And that accusation is worse than accusing him of not being generous with his money. Not being generous with his knowledge is worse than a person who wasn't generous with his money. While the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of people. With his wealth and with his knowledge. Here, I just want to focus on this point that if they said he concealed it, understand what this means. They're accusing the Prophet of khiyana, violating the trust. That is horrible. That is horrible. Because from the sifat of the mu'min is that they fulfill trust. And this is how Allah described the believers in the Quran. They fulfill their trust. They honor their contracts. They keep their promise. The Prophet ﷺ took the mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver his message to people, and then he didn't deliver it. That's untenable. It's not possible that a Muslim who has consciousness, who's not insane, could make such a claim. So where do they go from here? The Shaykh says, وَهُنَا شَرٌ قَدْ يَكُونَ إِحْتِمَالًا ثَالِثًا. And maybe the word ثَالِثًا is not in the text. It's not, right? Yeah, there's some words missing in the Arabic text also, but in any case, and the meaning is still the same. هُنَا شَرٌ قَدْ يَكُونَ إِحْتِمَالًا ثَالِثًا. Here, there's another evil that could be a possibility, a third possibility that's also evil. And that is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew about this, the good in this innovation that these people have come with, and he delivered it, وَلَكِنْ لَمْ تَصِلْ إِلَيْنَا. He knew about it, and he delivered it. So now they backed into a corner and said, okay, we're not going to say he didn't know, and we're not going to say he didn't deliver, because we can't say that, right? But they're going to say, but he didn't deliver it. It didn't reach us. It didn't reach us. The Shaykh says, فَنَكُولُ لَهُ. Here we will say to him, تَعَنْتَ فِي كِلَامِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ. Here we say to him that you have contested, you have challenged the speech of Allah, Azza wa Jalla. Because Allah has said in the Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرُ إِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. إِنَّا نَحْنُ. Yani the grammatical structure of this ayah is tremendous. إِنَّا. Definiteness. نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرُ. وَإِنَّا. Definiteness. لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And that lamb is also for definiteness. Allah is saying with certainty, without any doubt, that indeed we have sent down the dhikr. The scholars of tafsir say the dhikr is the Quran. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. And we are definitely the protector, preserver. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he has sent it down and he will protect and preserve it. This is in Surah Hijr. 15th surah, 9th ayat. Some of the scholars of tafsir, Ibn Kathir says, yani we will protect it, meaning from taghir or tabdeel, from any change in it, or exchanging some part of it for something else. Other scholars said, tabdeel, tahrif, ziyada, wa naqs. Yani from any kind of change, any substituting something for something else, adding something, taking from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the dhikr, that is the Quran, from any change coming to it, anything being added to it, anything being taken from it. The Shaykh, he says, this third possibility is an accusation, a challenging of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah said, we have sent down the dhikr and we will preserve it, protect it. Yani, nothing will be taken from it, nothing will be added to it. It will be preserved intact, complete and whole. So if any sharia, إذا وإذا ضاعت شريعة من شريعة الذكر, if any legislated matter from the sharia of Allah has been lost, فمعنى ذلك أن الله لم يقوم بحفظه. That means that Allah did not protect and preserve it as He promised in the Quran. That would mean that Allah has not protected and preserved it, which is impossible. Rather, it means that Allah, يعني, has fallen short, وَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, in His protecting of it to the extent of whatever of the Sharia is lost from that which He has sent down the dhikr for its purpose. يعني, He sent down the Quran in order to deliver to the people the laws, the guidance, the huda. And if any of it is lost to that extent, يعني, it would mean that Allah has not protected and preserved that which He sent down. So these are three matters that there's no escape from for the people of bid'ah. These are three matters that they can't escape from. Yani, if they came with something that's not found in the Sharia, that's not found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not confirmed, established by authentic evidence, yani, from the Sunnah, not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah, then either they have to say, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know it, or the Prophet knew it but he hid it, or the Prophet knew it and he delivered it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't, yani, convey it to us. And all of those are impossible. Naam?
And the third one is worse.
Naam. Jazakallah khair, ya Mustafa. وعلى كل حال فإن كل الإنسان يبتدع ما يتقرب به إلى ربه من عقيدة أو عمل قولي أو فعلي فإنه ضال. Sheikh says, in any case, he's going now to another point now, related to the innovation of the people, innovation and refutation of them. He said, in any case, على كل حال, every human being who invents, innovates something new, not like a new type of vehicle, or a new type of telephone, or a new type of, يعني, instrument, no, ما يتقرب به إلى ربه. Anybody who invents something new that they are intending by it as a means to get near to their Rabb, yani, as a religious act to get near to Allah with, whether it is in aqidah, in what we believe, or whether it is in amal, in the deeds of the people, whether speech or action, فَإِنْهُ ضَالٌ, then indeed, certainly, definitely, this person is astray. And this here is a powerful statement from the Shaykh, يعني رحمه الله. Every human being, any human being who invents something new as a means of getting near to Allah, this is a very important part of the statement, as a means of getting near to Allah. Because perhaps somebody invents something new, has nothing to do with religion, has nothing to do with, yani, worship, getting near to Allah. It's just something of benefit to the people in the society. That's a different matter altogether. What we're talking about, bid'ah, is in matters of deen. It is those things that a person does with the hope that it's a means of getting near to Allah. Whether it's in aqidah or whether it's in amal, whether it's speech or action, whoever does so, that person is astray, misguided. Here the Shaykh says, he brings one evidence for his statement based on the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kullu bid'atin dhalalatun. Kullu bid'atin dhalalatun. And this statement came in various hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned here that it's a statement reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih in the Book of Jum'ah, in the chapter related to, yani, lightening the, yani, lessening, yani, making easy the salat and the khutbah, not making it long. From the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma. In a longer hadith, that is a famous hadith. And that is a hadith in which Jabir was mentioning the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amma ba'd, fa inna khayr al hadithi kitabullah, wa khayr al huda huda Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa shar al umur muhtathatuha, wa kullu bid'atin dalala." Yani, the hadith of Jabir reported by Imam Muslim. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given a khutbah, and he came to the point where he said, the Prophet said, and يعني أما بعد. What, how do you translate that? As for the follows? Something like that. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed the best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad ﷺ, and the most evil of all affairs are the muhtathat, the newly invented things people made up in the religion to get near to Allah with, and kullu yani bid'ah dalala, and every innovation is misguidance. And that's why the Shaykh said, everybody who invents something in the religion as a means of getting near to Allah, that person is astray. Because every innovation is dalala. Every innovation is dalala. And then the Shaykh, he says, and I wish yani that everybody would read yani a book. The Shaykh has a book, Al-Bid'ah wa Athruha As-Siyyah, something like that. I'm not sure the exact name. I'll send the cover. I'll send the cover by email to the class. Which is a small book, and then there's a bigger book by Sheikh Ali Faqih, Ali Nasr al-Faqih, on bid'ah and its evil effects on the ummah. One of these books, or some book like this, everybody needs to read to know the full details of this subject that we're going to talk about here briefly. Because it is a critical affair that a person must avoid and try to save others from, yani others of the Muslims from this bid'ah. In any case, yani, the important thing is that every bid'ah is dalala. Every person who engages in bid'ah is astray. That's what the Shaykh said. Whoever invents something as a means of getting near to Allah, then that person is misguided, is astray. وَهَذِهِ كُلِّيَّ عَامَ لَا يُسْتَثْنَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا إِطْلَاقًا. Again, the Shaykh, few words, powerful meaning. هَذِهِ يعني this word, كُلُّ بِدَعَ كُلِّيَّ يعني it's inclusive of everything. عَامَ general, covering whatever comes under it. لَا يُسْتَثْنَى مِنْهَا شَيْءٌ nothing is exempted, accepted from it. إِطْلَاقًا عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ absolutely. There's no exception to it. Every بِدَعَ يعني is misguidance. يعني كُلُّ for those who study Arabic or who study أصول الفقه, yani it's from Al-Fav Al-Umum. Yani it's from the expressions in the Arabic language that indicate generality. Yani that covers everything. It's not, yani there's no, he said, itlaqan. There's nothing that's exempted from it. Al-Itlaq. Itlaqan means absolutely there's no exception to it. It includes everything. It's all inclusive. It's an expression, yani that is general, and it's all inclusive for everything that comes under yani whatever it's in reference to, kullu bid'ah or whatever. In this case, bid'ah. And the reason why this is important is because actually even some of the scholars of the Muslims, even some Muslim scholars, have understood that there's some exception. Some scholars, I'm not talking about the people of deviation alone, some scholars understood that there's exceptions to yani the rule of every bid'ah is dalala. Some scholars understood من سن في الإسلام to be an exception, that there are some things that a person can do. Some of them refer to things that are not acts of worship, but they may be the wasail, the means to achieve the act of worship. And the Shaykh is addressing that later, before we finish. But the point is that some scholars did say, I looked at some of the explanations of different famous books of hadith concerning this particular hadith, and some of the famous scholars are saying that this is a yani kullu bid'ah. It is umum makhsus. Umum makhsus. Yani that is general, yes, but there's some exception from it. There's some khas matters that are accepted from this umum. And that's wrong. The Shaykh is clearly saying here, yani hadhi kulliya ama la yustathna minha shay'un itlaqan. There's no exception to it. Every innovation, anything that somebody made up in the deen of Allah that has no basis in the sharia, yani in its origin or in the manner in which it's done. Or in the manner in which it's done. Which the Shaykh alludes to later if we reach to it. Yani, whoever invents something in the deen of Allah that has no basis in the sharia, in its origin or in the manner in which it's done, or the time or the place or the amount that it is done in, then whoever does this, then this person, yani, is astray. That their innovation is misguidance. And there's no khair in it at all. there's no benefit in it. The Shaykh says, so every innovation in the deen of Allah, فَكُلُّ بِدَعَةٍ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا ضَلَالَةٌ وَلَيْسَ فِيهَا مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْءٌ. That every innovation in the deen of Allah, indeed it is misguidance. And there is no truthfulness in it at all. There is nothing of truth in bid'ah, in innovation. And then the Shaykh quotes from Surah to Yunus. What number is Surah to Yunus? 10. 10th Surah, 32nd Ayat. The saying of Allah the Most High, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ فَأَنَّا تُسْرَفُونَ. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. What is there after the haqq except misguidance? Yani in other words, the meaning of this is that there's nothing after the haqq except misguidance. There's nothing after what Allah has legislated except misguidance. There's no in-between way. It's either the haqq or batil. Truth or falsehood. It's either sunnah or bid'ah. If it's not the sunnah of the Prophet, it's bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. The Shaykh, he says that Allah said, فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الدَّلَالِ. What is there after the truth except dalal? And this ayah is in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah huwa al-haq. Allah huwa al-haq. So what is there after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Worship Allah except misguidance. Worship anything other than Allah. That's clearly absolute. What is there after the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Worshipping anything other than Allah except misguidance. What is there after the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except misguidance? That's the point the Shaykh is making. He said, ثُمَّ نَقُولُ إِنَّ الْحَدِيثِ لَا يُدُلُّ عَلَى كُلِّ بِدَعَةٍ. And then we will say that this hadith does not indicate يعني, that every bid'ah is misguidance. And how can a person say that? How can a person, after the clarity of the wording of this hadith and the meaning that came with this ayah from the Quran, يعني, how can a person then say that this hadith يعني, does not point to every bid'ah? Yani there are some exceptions to this hadith. Kullu bid'atin dalala. Okay, then the Shaykh, he goes on. Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, bal qala, yani they said, yani in the beginning of the argument of the people of bid'ah, they said, yani that this is good, this innovation that we came was good, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man sanna fil Islam, yani sunnatan hasana. They said, yani, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani supporting with their, yani the thing that they're trying to use as a proof for them, the Shaykh is saying, but the Prophet said, man sanna fil Islam, whoever establishes a precedent, a good precedent, a good practice, fil Islam. Note the words of the Prophet, fil Islam. Yani whoever introduces a good practice or a good precedent or establishes or set a good precedent in Islam, the Shaykh says, وَمَا خَرَجَ عَنْ شَرِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْسَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. Anything outside of the Sharia of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not from Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. And if it's not from the Sharia of Muhammad, it's not in Islam. It's not in Islam. Then the Shaykh says, بَلْ قَدْ قَالَ مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. Rather further, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever establishes Yani sunnah hasana, a good sunnah in Islam, that's from Islam, then you have its reward, the reward of whoever acts upon it after him until Yawmul Qiyamah. But notice the words what? Sunnah hasana. And later on the Shaykh said in another place, yani it's mentioned that he said, yani man sanna fil Islam, bid'ah is not from Islam. Sunnah hasana, yani bid'ah is not hasana. Sunnah hasana, bid'ah is not hasana. So by this we know, وَبِهَذَا نَعْرِفُ أَنَّهُ لَبُدَّ أَن تَكُونَ هَذِهِ السُّنَّةِ مِمَّا أَثْبَتَهُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Yani from this we came to know that it is a necessity that if somebody establish, yani set a precedent, yani worthy of... Brothers and sisters, let me just remind myself and each of us, yani mashallah, it's a beautiful thing to have a telephone that reminds you when it's time for salah. But if the muezzin is calling at the end of the masjid, we shouldn't be listening to somebody's telephone. We should not be listening to somebody's telephone. The muezzin is here. Human beings calling at the end. We don't need the telephone. So, yani, we have to learn how to use the telephone If you're in the masjid and the muezzin's calling an adhan, the telephone goes off, turn it off. Turn it off. Don't let it just keep going and going and going. It's a distraction. I'm trying to listen to the muezzin and this is distracting me.
Even during the dars.
Even during the dars. Can you turn it off, please? You don't know how to turn it off. Always look for a young person. That's our rule. Look for a young person, ask them, please turn this off for me. Babies know how to do it. But we don't know how to do it. When I say we, I don't mean all of you. I mean few people like me. Allahu musta'an. And so the Shaykh is saying here, even in the salat, and if the telephone goes off in the salat, turn it off. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter. You're making salat, stop that telephone. Because you stopping the telephone is a lesser evil than you disturbing everybody in the masjid during the salat. That's a lesser evil than you disturbing the whole masjid. Especially if people have on the telephone that which is haram. Music. It shouldn't even be on your telephone. You shouldn't have your telephone ringing with music to tell you somebody's calling you. Music is haram. Wallahi, it's haram. Yeah, there's difference of opinion about it, but wallahi, if you examine it sincerely with open heart, it's clear that it's haram. You should not be listening to music. Not on your telephone or anywhere else. Especially bringing it in the masjid. In the masjid? You playing music in the masjid? During salat while we're praying? People are playing music. They didn't intend to play music in the salat, but that's what it came to. Turn it off. Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh, he said that من سن في الإسلام يعني whatever is outside of the Sharia of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم is not from Islam. And he also said من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, whoever establishes a good practice, a good precedent, then know for sure that bid'ah is not good. From this we came to know that it is a necessity that this sunnah that a person thinks that they are setting the precedent with, that they are bringing to the people, to have the people follow them in something good, then this, it must be something that is established by Islam. It has to be established by the Sharia of Allah, by the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa illa laysat sunnatun fil Islam. Otherwise, it is not a sunnah in Islam, nor is it something good. If it's not established by Islam. Here the Shaykh goes on now to the second matter of tonight's discussion, and I know that time is short, but in any case the Shaykh says, وَمَنْ عَلِمَ سَبَبَ الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ عَلِمَ أَنَّ الْمُرَادِ بِالسُنَّةِ الْمُبَادَرَةِ بِالْعَمَلِ وَالسَّبْقُ إِلَى التَّنْفِيذِ سُنَّةً كَانَ أَسْبَقُ النَّاسِ بِهَا لِأَنَّ سَبَبَ الْحَدِيثِ مَعْلُومٌ. And the Shaykh here now, he's arguing against the people who, scholars or otherwise, who want to use this hadith, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, he's showing يعني, that their interpretation, their understanding, even if it's well-meaning, is wrong. من علم سبب الحديث, whoever knows the reason for this hadith, what was the occasion in which the Prophet said these words? What was the occasion? Under what circumstances did he say this? Whoever knows the reason for this hadith that we have mentioned, then he will know that what is intended by sunnah, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, he will know that what's intended by sunnah, the meaning of it is المبادرة بالعمل. المبادرة بالعمل. The meaning of it is hastening to do the deed. The one who hastened to do the deed. That's what we understand from the text, the context of the hadith. The meaning of من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, doesn't mean making a new law or a new rule or coming inventing something new. No. It means al mubadara bil amal, hastening to do that deed. Or as sabqu ila tanfiz sunnatan kana asbaqu an-nas biha. Or being yani racing, being the first one, being ahead of everyone else, getting there before everybody else, preceding everybody else in the tanfiz, the execution of a sunnah that you or he, that person, yani preceded everybody else with it. He got there ahead of everybody else. He was the first one to do it. How do we know that that's the meaning? From the context of the hadith. The circumstance under which the Prophet made this statement. The meaning of it is al-mubadara, hastening to do a good deed. The meaning of it is being first, outdoing everybody else in executing a sunnah that's established in Islam. But you were the first one who came to do it, and then the people followed you in it. So you, yani, the one who set the precedent, yani, you're the one who brought it out and made the people see it, and then people followed you in it. It's like Yani the masjid is in need, and somebody comes to the masjid and says, who wants to give some money for the masjid? And the first person jumps up quickly without waiting. And then other people see him, they get inspired, and they also give, right? That one who was first, that's what's meant, that's what's intended here. That's what's intended here. How do we know that? From the text of the hadith. This is because the suburb of this hadith is well known. The Shaykh says in brief, what's the suburb of this? And the hadith is a lengthy hadith, but the Shaykh gives it in brief. This is the reason for this hadith. Huwanna jama'at. A group of people came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they were fuqara. They were poor people, very poor people. فَحَثَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَىٰ تَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And the Prophet encouraged the Muslims who were present to give charity to these people. They were really in need. The Prophet encouraged them, pushed the people to give charity to these people. So a man came from the Ansar with a bag, yani full of money. A bag full of money that was difficult for him to even carry. He couldn't carry it. He was dragging it. فَوَضَعَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Then he put the bag of money in front of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He was the first one to respond, to execute this practice that is known in Islam, it's established in Islam, giving charity. It's not something new. He didn't make up something. He didn't make up something new. They're trying to say this hadith is good for a person making up something new that's good. What did he make up new? The Prophet said, give charity. He was just the first one. Al-Mubadir bil-Amal. He hastened to do it. Yani asbaq al-nas biha. He was the first one. He beat everybody else to it. He came with a big bag of money and he placed it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet said to him, to the people in reference to him, man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana. Yani whoever establishes, sets forth a good practice. Yani whoever is the one who precedes the other people, who hastens to do it, who leads the way, then he will have the reward of what he has given and the reward of whoever acts upon it after him until Yawmul Qiyamah. Now this hadith, in its entirety, is quite lengthy. So, yani, probably I'll excuse myself from the whole of the hadith or just summarize it quickly. Yani, hadith reported by Imam Muslim. Yani, I'm reading the word that came in Imam Muslim from Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiallahu anhu. He said, we were in the beginning of the morning with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the start of the morning, and a people who were huffat, urrat. Yani, they were barefooted and nearly naked with almost no clothing to wear. They came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wearing some striped type of garment, or just like a blanket or something over them that wasn't even really clothing, and their swords were hanging around their necks, and most of them were from the tribe of Mudhar, or all of them were from the tribe of Mudhar. فَتَمَعَرَ يعني تَغَيَّرَ تَمَعَرَ. The face of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم changed لِمَا رَأَ بِهِمْ مِنَ الْفَاقَ. The Prophet, and his face, the look on his face changed from the condition that he saw these people in, of poverty. So he entered his place and he came back out and he ordered Bilal to call the adhan and then the iqamah, and then they prayed, and then the Prophet ﷺ addressed the people and he recited from the Quran the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th surah, 1st ayah, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum. I don't want to read the whole of it, but the point is, yani he's asking the people, observe taqwa of Allah. And then the ayah ends with, Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Indeed, Allah is a watcher over you. If we reflect on this ayah and understand yani the magnitude of what the Prophet ﷺ is saying to the people, then you will see how yani how to get people to respond. People who have iman. People who have iman. Remind them to observe taqwa of Allah. Remind them that Allah is watching over us. And then he read another ayah yani from Surah Al-Hashr, 59th surah, 18th ayah, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرُ النَّفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Oh, you who believe. Again, he addresses the people with iman. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Observe. This is the key, really. That it is the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people who have iman. It is their taqwa that moves them to do good or to abstain from evil. It is taqwa. And then the Prophet ﷺ remind them of al-muraqaba wal-yanzur. I mean, not muraqaba, yani muhasaba. Wal-yanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li-ghadin. And every person should look to what he has sent ahead for tomorrow. Look what he said to the people. And let every person look to what you're sending ahead for tomorrow. What are you trying to do of good that will be on your account yawmul qiyamah? This is how the Prophet ﷺ is moving the people. And if these ayats don't move somebody, then there's something wrong with their iman. No doubt. Then, in this hadith, yani of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajli, he said, تَصَدَّقَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ دِنَارِهِ وَمِنْ دِرْحَمِهِ وَمِنْ ثَوْبِهِ مِنْ صَاعَ بُرِّهِ مِنْ صَاعَ تَمْرِهِ حَتَّى قَالَ وَلَوْ بِشَكْ تَمْرَ. The scholars of the Sunnah explain these words as not meaning this actually happened. Okay, as it appears to be, that it actually happened. فَتَصَدَّقَ تَصَدَّقَ الرَّجُلُ. A man gave charity from his gold and from silver and from clothing and from a sa'a, amount of wheat and dates, until the Prophet said, وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَمْرَ. Even if it's just a half of a date. This statement is as though that happened. That's not what the meaning of it is. The meaning is that the Prophet was telling them to give. And it was as though they responded instantly without delay, such that it did happen. Not that he's waiting for it to happen, but it actually happened. But it's not that it happened, not yet. No, the Prophet is just telling the people, everybody should give from whatever they have. Yani, they said, Ja bisighatul madi, allati bimana al amra. Yani, it's in the past tense, but the meaning of it, he's commanding the people to do this. Fadhakarahu bisighatul ikhbar. So it's mentioned as though he's telling us about something that happened. Mubalaghatan, to exaggerate the meaning of what, yani the urgency that he's saying to the people. And it's as though he's telling us this is what happened. In reality, he's commanding them to give. In a way, it is as though he expects that they're going to respond instantly, and it's as though it actually already happened. And it's like in the Quran when Allah says something in the past tense, and the meaning of it is certainty. It's in the past tense in that what? It's sure to happen. That's the meaning of this hadith here. Yani, the Prophet ordered them to give from their gold and their silver and their clothing and their wheat and their dates, until he ordered them give even a half of a date. Yani, the end of it is clear that he's telling them even give a half of a date. فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَنصَارِ. Then, after the Prophet ﷺ said this to them, a man from the Ansar, he came with a bag of money, carrying it such that it was difficult, and he couldn't almost carry it, or he couldn't carry it. And then, ثُمَّ تَتَابَعَ النَّاسُ حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ قَوْمَيْنِ مِنْ طَعَامٍ وَثِيَابٍ. Then the people successively followed that man's example, until I saw, the narrator of hadith said, I saw two piles, or two mountains of food and clothing. حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَحَلَّلُ كَأَنَّهُ مُذْهَبَةٌ. And then I saw the face of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ glowing with light, or glittering like gold. Yani, from happiness and joy, from the people responding. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And that's when the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. That whoever establishes, yani sets a precedent, is the first one who hastens ahead of the rest of people, sets an example of doing something good that's established in Islam, then he will have the reward of that, and the reward of everybody who acted upon it after him, without their reward being diminished in any way. And the Prophet ﷺ went on to say, and whoever yani establishes, sets a precedent of something evil, then he will have the weight of the responsibility of the sin of that, and the weight of everybody who acted upon it after him, without their reward, without their punishment being diminished in any way, yani at all. The Shaykh, he says, this is the end of the hadith, and then the Shaykh says, وَبِهَذَا عَرَفْنَا الْمُرَادِ أَنَّ مَنْ سَنَّهَا لَيْسَ مَنْ شَرَعَهَا لَكِنْ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا أَوَّلًا. Clarity, complete clarity. After this hadith, the Shaykh says, from this we came to know with certainty that the intended meaning of men, سَنَّهَا مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. Yani, the meaning of مَنْ سَنَّهَا, it is not somebody who legislated something new, they made up something new. No, the meaning is مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا أَوَّلًا. Yani, it means the one who acted upon it first. How do we know that? Because the Prophet said that when a man acted upon his command to them to give charity, the one who acted first, he said in reference to that, so whoever does this, whoever is the first who hastens ahead of the rest of the people, yani the first one to act upon it, to set the precedent, the other people will follow behind. This is the meaning, not legislating something new in Islam. rather being the first one to act upon it. And that is because بِذَلِكَ يعني being the first one to act upon it. مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا أَوَّلًا بِذَلِكَ أي بِعَمِلَهِ أَوَّلًا يَكُونُ هُوَ إِمَامًا لِلنَّاسِ فِيهَا. In this way he became an imam for the people in that practice that he was the first one to act upon. فَيَكُونُ قُدْوَ خَيْرٌ وَحَسَنًا. So he will be a good example, يعني that other people will follow. فَيَكُونُ لَهُ أَجْرُهَا. And in that way he's entitled to have the reward for his action and the reward for everybody who followed him in it until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. In the footnote from another place the Shaykh says, so here the meaning of سَن يعني in مَن سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سَنَّ الْعَمَلْ تَنْفِيذًا. The meaning of سَن here is not to legislate a new deed, rather it is to execute, to act upon, to execute يعني that thing that is already legislated in Islam, not تَشْرِيعًا, to legislate, to make a new law. Rather it is tanfiz, to act upon, to execute the thing that has been legislated in Islam. So the meaning of man sanna fil Islam sunnah hasana, the Shaykh says, man amila biha tanfizan la tashri'an, lianna tashri' mamnu'. Yani, so what is intended here is the one who acts upon it first, the one who executes that which is legislated in Islam, not the one who makes a new law, who legislates something new from his own self. For indeed, every innovation that people just made up is dalala, is misguidance. In the footnotes, there's some more points here that the Shaykh makes. I'm going to summarize them just so that we can finish this point for today. It is mentioned in another book that the Shaykh gave two other answers to this particular hadith. In brief, yani, he said, that the Shaykh said, من قال إن من قال من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة هو القائل كل بدعة ضلالة. Yani that the one who said this hadith, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, he's the same person who said كل بدعة ضلالة. He's the same person. There's no contradiction here. Okay, so the Shaykh said it's not possible that a Sadiq al-Masduq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is truthful and who is believed, it's not possible that there can come from him speech that negates, belies his other speech. Yani that one thing he said makes the other thing he said a lie, not being true. That's not possible. لا يمكن أن يتناقض كلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبدا. It's not possible for his speech to be يعني contradictory. It is not possible that these two hadith can have one meaning from the same person, from the same source, and yet be contradictory. And whoever thinks that the speech of Allah Ta'ala or the speech of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is contradictory, فَلْيُعَدَّ another, then you need to take another look at it. It's not possible for it to be contradictory. Indeed, this dhan, this thought that the speech of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can be contradictory, إِمَّا عَنْ قُصُور مِنْهُ وَإِمَّا عَنْ تَقْصِيرٍ. It is either because the person, قُصُور يعني means that they are not able, they're not capable. And تَقْصِيرٍ means that the person has fallen short. They are able, but they didn't give their full effort. So it's either this person was incapable of comprehending the matter, or they haven't really tried to comprehend it. Otherwise, it's not possible that يعني, there be in the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the speech of His Messenger, contradictions, abadan. So if this became clear, then the clarification, what shows that there's no contradiction between these two hadith, every innovation is misguidance, and the hadith, whoever يعني sets a precedent, a good precedent in Islam. Walaykum salam. These two hadith, the clarification that there's no contradiction between them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man sanna fil Islam." Yani the Shaykh repeated this in the other place. "Man sanna fil Islam." Yani meaning it has to be something that's a part of Islam, and bid'ah is not a part of Islam. And he said, "Sunnah hasana." Yani a good sunnah, and bid'ah is not good. So there's a difference between a sen, yani establishing or being setting the precedent of being the first one to do good, and yani innovating something new in the deen of Allah that has no yani basis. Yani the meaning of sen means hastening to do the good deed. To be the first one to execute that sunnah, yani you be the first one ahead of the rest of the people who did it. And then the Shaykh finally says, and we're going to close with this, hunak jawab la basbi, another explanation the Shaykh gave, possible explanation, and the man of man sanna, yani the meaning of man sanna, man ahya سنة كانت موجودة فعدمت فأحياها. يعني من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة means the one who revived, gave life back to the sunnah that was present, and then the people stopped practicing it. You know, like right now, right? You can go to certain places and there are practices from the sunnah, you don't see them at all. You see nobody practicing it. Okay? So the person who brings that back to the people, gives life back to it, then this hadith may also, this may be the meaning of it here. Yani the one who gives life to a sunnah after it has been left, after it has been abandoned, after it has been yani lost by the people. Man sanna fil Islam sunnah hasana, meaning the one who gives life back to a sunnah that was lost from the people. And the Shaykh said that this is yani san idafiyan nisbiyan, yani meaning, yani it's a little bit complicated discussion on this point here, but the meaning of it is yani idafiyan nisbiyan, yani idafiyan means connected to something else, meaning in this case, in this hadith, meaning that it was a practice that is already established in Islam. So yani it's nisbiyan because nisbah means in reference to this or that, right? So in reference to the origin of it, it's established in Islam. In reference to the people and that, he's the first one who did it. In that sense, he's sanna. And this is, yani the Shaykh said, kama takoon, yani al-bida'a idafiyya nisbiyya. That's another matter altogether. But in any case, bida'a idafiyya nisbiyya means that a bida'a that is not absolutely purely in its foundation and innovation. Yani its origin is something that's established in the Sharia, and it's connected to that. Idafiyya. Nisbiyya, yani from one angle, binisbatis, yani asluhu, yani in reference to its origin, it is founded in the Sharia. But binisbati, kayfiyati, for example, how it is done, then it is, yani, innovation. Yani binisbati hadha, yani from one angle, its foundation is in the Sunnah, from another angle, the way it is done, the manner in which it is done, the time or the amount or the place, is not in the Sunnah. And the example of this, and there are many, the clearest example of this that I can give to make it easy so we can close here quickly, is al-dhikr al-jama'i. The congregational dhikr that the people do after the salat, for example. Yani, it is a practice that is idafi, it's connected to something. Nisbiyya, yani, its relation to the origin is legislated in Islam, dhikr. But its relation to the manner in which it's done, that is done in congregation, is bid'ah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.